The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. And now, right to your host of Barrington Awaken, Barrington.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here today, a Sunday afternoon. We're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about slowing down, just slowing down. We're going way too fast. We need to slow down and, of course, smell the roses because we're here to live and not here to prepare to go to a next place to live, regardless of what you may have been told. We're here to live, enjoy life, learn what it's like to be human beings, to be in a human body. What we do here is we try to raise you up to a higher level of consciousness for you to realize how big, great, and powerful you truly are. We encourage you to look within. All you need to know about yourself is within you and not out there. There isn't another source entity, a ship, a spaceship, any kind of thing coming to get you and take you somewhere else or to bring you to a higher, better place to live or to be. There's no one coming to rescue you, and you've heard me say that many times, simply because you are fully equipped to take care of yourself. All we need to do is learn how to know thyself. That's what we need to do. So you're fully capable. When you were birthed, you showed up with all the things that is required to have an amazing life as a human being, as you know now that you're a spiritual existence and you've come from another place into this world where you get the body. Much like when you leave your house and you get into your vehicle and you drive around from destination wherever you're going, point A, B, C, or whatever, down to Z. The spiritual self comes into the body, and you are not actually the body. The body represents the car I just mentioned. It's the vehicle that gets you from point A to point B. Yes, we have to take care of it. We have to groom it. We have to exercise it, feed it properly, rest it properly, and take care of it as if we were taking care of a brand new baby. The ability to take care of that also resides within you. What we try to do is raise you to a higher level of consciousness for you to understand that all things are achievable, but most of us don't know. If you learn how to take care of yourself, you will have an amazing life and understand that you are the only one who will take care of you. So spend some time learning what your body requires. This is how you take care of yourself. And no matter how grim it may seem, you still have the ability to repair, because the body does have its own method of repairing itself and the capabilities. The body will repair itself. However, you have to provide the right tool, be it nutrition, it could be it exercise, be it food, rest, whatever it may be. you have to send those parts or equipment to the repair guy who's within you, person within you, and the body does know how to repair itself. A lot of us, like I said, don't know that. When you are raised to a higher level of consciousness, you will truly understand who you are. And what everyone is trying to do is to get you to know thyself, that you are the powerful giant. You are connected to everything that's living on this planet. You are just energy, not just in a small form of it, but you are energy. And the energy is connecting to all that there is, the great wave. The energy, of course, you know this, you cannot destroy it or create more of it, but it is there forever. And like energy that cannot be destroyed, you, the inner you, the real spiritual self, the spiritual being that is you, cannot be destroyed. Therefore, at the end of this journey, when your body has run out of gas or collected too much rust or have gotten too old to perform duties to be human being, then you will lay it down. Nowadays, they're starting to burn them, but you will lay it down regardless, bury it back to the earth where it came from, and then you will move on. A lot of people call that rebirth, reincarnation, whatever you want to call it. We're not going anywhere after that. It's like stepping out of your car, and then you're going back into your house or wherever you've come from. So there isn't an up there, and a lot of people don't like me saying that. And equally, there isn't a down there. It's just a here and now. We tell people to wake up to that reality and understand their true self, understand the power they have within them. Each living being is connected. This makes us all one, from the animal to us, to all other living things. We're all connected because we all have that energy within us. On the other side, without a body, and I've said this many times, you do exist. Again, we're going to go back into the home that you've just stepped out of. And then you have an opportunity to choose to come here to live a life as a human being. We've brought a purpose. We have a destination. And of course, we have the obligation to live the life that you're supposed to live while you're here as human beings. Think about all of that, because that's what gives us the energy, the knowledge that we have and we're not using. Now, we had a show a while back where we talked about common sense, and we've had a few people calling in and say a lot of people don't have common sense. Well, we've got everything. We've got it all. Some choose not to use it, or they don't know how to use it, or they, you know, don't understand it or something. Regardless, we all have it. We all have the same thing that makes us strong or weak. How we journey through life is probably an interpretation of what we were told. How the culture of the family that you may have come from, you tend to go to that limit simply because that's the standard that was set for you based on what you may have heard or seen. You may think you can't get any higher than that level that was set for you by your society, your culture, family, friend, but you have the ability to reach the top. You have the ability. Unfortunately for a lot of us, because of training, we tend to lose the idea of knowing how to get to that level. What we do here is raise you to a higher level of consciousness for you to be able to step out of that shell or that trench or the words that you're being trained by or you were trained by. And unfortunately for a lot of us, even though we did choose to come here, we did choose to be a part of the family that we're a part of, we did choose to be the culture in the culture, we did choose our gender, we chose it all long before we put on that jacket we call the body. Unfortunately for what happens often is we forget. As we come here and we're learning how to wear this suit as human beings, we've forgotten most of us. And by the time we get back on our path and trying to figure it out, some other genius had told us, no, you got to go this way. You should go this way. You should follow this. This is your culture. This is your identity. This is everything. Then we tend to take that on and treat it as the truth. And if you talk to a lot of people and ask them about their faith, they know it is so real, without proof, of course, but they swear by it because they were told this from day one, and they haven't had the chance to challenge it, or they choose not to challenge it because the stories that were told to them seems comforting and believe to be truth. If it sounds too good to be true, what's the rest of that statement? Obviously, it's probably not true. I'm just saying, I use the word probably, but I could tell you that there is no down there. When it comes to God, I've been asked many times, is there a God? Well, the answer in the short term is yes. Is you and me, your neighbor, the boss you might not like, or the employee you might like, or the ex. They possess the same quality as everyone else on this planet, though you may disagree. However, the God that exists is you. What I've learned over the years is that somebody wrote stories about the God that's up there, and in favor of following it, as opposed to following the truth. And the stories don't always benefit the ones who are being herded or the ones who are being told. It will benefit the person or the people or the group that wrote it, because they write it in their favor. One of the things that gets me quite often is that I go to these, have been to many of them, a lot of the times for research purposes and whatnot, just to get a better understanding of it. But they will always ask you to contribute and give money to this organization, to this group, and, you know, follow it because it's the law. It's even written in one of the books, the one that I'm familiar with. It is written in the book that you should, because it is the law of God. And I just thought, would my loving God ask another person to ask me for money? Or anything. Wouldn't it make sense that he would ask me directly? Or, you know, forget about asking me directly. Apparently he needs the money, so why doesn't he just give it to the organization and have them give it back to him? Instead of going third party, John asked Ted, who asked Bob, and then we contribute, and then apparently it goes to him. Why wouldn't he just say, oh, well, I'll just create some more? I mean, he's the creator of all things. This is what the books are saying. I'm simply saying the God that exists for us, we're governed by the laws of the universe. We're part of the element that exists on this planet. We just stand erect like most of it. However, some has changed the rules as to who or what to follow. Well, let me be clear with you right now. No one but you know your destiny. Therefore, if I see you walking on the street and I'm telling you to go this way, go that way, oh no, turn back, you have the right to ask me, how do I know where you're going? What evidence do I have to support knowing better than you? What evidence do I have to support? So answering the question is simply saying, yeah, God does exist. But you're hearing him now. Or if you look in the mirror, you'll see him or her or it, them. Because the God that exists is the energy that makes us who we are. And there isn't another one. The reason some claim to be closer to that God is because we have to confess our sins to that person and have them pass it on. But if you know everything about me, I guess you'll have a better way of judging or even trying to rule. Is that the purpose? God is real. God is you. A lot of people don't want to hear that. I mentioned a second ago about a sin. And that was another question I had recently. What is a sin? Well, it's just breaking a law, simple as that. If you don't follow the decree or the law that is written down in this, any of these books, you've considered committing a sin because you've broke one of the rules. But if the whole concept of it is fictitious, wouldn't the sin be as well? Wouldn't that mean that if we're worshiping something or following something that doesn't exist, how could we break a rule of something that doesn't exist? But the sin, to answer it, based on how the question was put to me, is you've broken a law or broken a rule of the thing. And if you know, they have, some groups have commandments, and if you abide by these commandments, then you wouldn't have sinned. But if you didn't, then you've broken a law, one of the rules, and then you're considered a sinner. But if the whole concept is unreal, then can we really be committing sins? You know, one of the favorite ones I hear all the time, well, murder is a sin. Absolutely, it is. But what would happen if that person was trying to murder you? Oh, that's called self-defense. Person is still dead. So the rules are laid out, and sometimes they make sense, sometimes they don't make sense. The last book I was reading about, it has 10 rules that is set out for us. And when you dissect them all, there should only be one. Be a good person. Be good. Help those who needs help, who ask you for help. If you're taking advantage of them, no, then you're not helping. If you're stomping on them, if you need to look down on another person, the only reason you should be doing that is to help them up at their request. So if you are trying to make an investment, a financial investment, it's going to take your money. And the person who's convincing you to take this investment or this whatever it is, doesn't have all the answers. And you've asked many questions, but the person who wants you to invest with them, or the entity, whatever you want to call it, who wants you to invest with them, does not have all the answers. You said, well, what about that clause? Oh, I'm not sure. What about this one? And you would read the contract, I hope, and study it well and bring it, you know, comfort. And most often, or sometimes, you'll take it to a professional, the contract, maybe to a lawyer, to have him go through it or her and dissect it for you and explain it to you to the best of their abilities, and said right, wrong, so and so. But if that person, lawyer, the professional that you've brought this contract to, says, I don't know, I don't understand that, and I don't get this, and I don't, it doesn't seem right, it something's off, or there's contradictory statements here, and you know, something's not right. If that professional was to tell you that, would you still invest in that? Would you still say, oh, you know, well, these are not answered, that's not clear, this is contradictory, but I'll still invest in it? Isn't that what we do when we take other people's word for it? Now, a lot of people will take their entire lives and invest it into something that doesn't have answers, proof, tangible, anything. Just, you have to believe this investment's going to work out. Believe me, you have to believe. And if you believe, then of course it's going to work out, because you've convinced yourself it is going to work out. The next time a person approaches you with an investment idea for you to put the money into it, you might take a second look at the contract and understand it thoroughly and the risk that is involved and what could happen. And that's your money. What about those who are doing it for their life? The entire time that you're here on the planet, you're going to invest it into something that is only true because you want to believe it's true. Now, how many times have you heard people go in and do this great investment with their monies and then they're taken? We've seen this. They're taken. It wasn't legit. It wasn't as straight as an arrow as we thought it was. And if, you know, it sounds too good to be true, it's going to be too good. It is too good. It won't be true. So you wouldn't gamble that way with your money. But you're probably gambling that way with your life. The most valuable currency that you'll ever have as a human being is the time that we spend here on Earth. And you're willing to gamble with it. Because the backlash is very frightening. If you don't do this, then this is going to happen. But what about the proof of the existence of this that they're referring to? Welcome to the Barrington Awaken Show. Thank you for being a part of it. We're here today. You know what I talk about. You've discussed it. We want you to wake up and approach a higher level of consciousness for you to think wisely about the things and the decisions that you make. This is why we say it. I mentioned earlier in what I was saying about you leaving your home to get into your vehicle, the body, and then you go. The home is, you know, my weird way of saying your spiritual existence. And then you get into the vehicle, your body, and then you go on your journey, whatever that may be. And of course, the journey could take, you know, 95 years as well as it could take 5 days. It's just what you have planned for yourself. This is how it works. Now you've come back, you've parked your car, and to everybody who listens to me from all around the world, I want to say to you all, welcome home. Have we got any emails there, sir?
We do. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington. You can write to us right now in studio101. @gmail.com, instudio101@gmail.com. During the week, anytime, our email address is awaken1308@gmail.com. That's awaken1308@gmail.com. Liz wrote in. She says, Barrington, I know you probably do not pray, but let's say that you do. Who would you pray to? That's from Liz. Tony says, there's no heaven. I've heard you say that many times, but this is it? I find that hard to believe that just us here on Earth is the end of everything. That's from Tony. Claude says, where do we come from if we're not made by a maker, a deity, a heaven, a hell, wherever? Where do we come from? Just mud in the ground? That's from Claude. Beth says, how do you figure that animals and people are one? That's from Beth. Let's see here. Ralph says, I am trying to understand how we do get raised to a higher level. What do we need to do about that? That's from Ralph. And last one here, Mike. What is it actually that makes us strong or weak? Physical, mentally, health-wise? What is it that makes a man strong or weak? That's from Mike, and back to you.
Thank you. Mike, what makes a man strong or weak? Okay, so that's a loose question there, because you said physically, you named a couple of the things that goes on in life. Okay, so if we've gotten old in years, our bodies are well used, hopefully by then, we won't be physically as strong as we were maybe, you know, in our 20s or wherever. So the body will naturally get older and get weaker, and this is bringing us down to get a little bit weaker. But if you're talking more of an emotional level, it's a lot of what we've endured. You know, they say what doesn't strengthen you, what doesn't kill you will strengthen you, or something to that effect. It depends on how you interpret it. But a man or a person could be broken down and be weak just because they're negatively being bombarded by what is being dictated to them. And they lose hope, or they lose focus, or they lose strength, emotional strength. If you're in an abusive relationship, you will obviously, you lose your freedom, and you lose your ability to be yourself. And then you give up. And you know, for a quick second, I want to say, please, whatever you do, do not give up. fight until the bitter end, wherever that may be. So what makes us weak is just the fact that we're exposed to so much negativity, so much bad things that's out there. And this starts, I think, more so in our, if you weren't abused, physically abused, or any of the abuse growing up, I think this starts, you know, when we become late teens, early 20s, then we start picking sides, we start picking our identity, and then you will listen to all the negative things that was put out there in front of you, and either you give up, you just accept it for what it is. If you look at the kids when they're playing, they're not thinking of anything. They're just having a good time. You know, they're not afraid of anything. You've had children, you could see they're fearless, and they will say, they'll act, they'll do whatever they want to do because they're children, and this is what they've come into this world with. And of course, being children to us, we inevitably pass on our own fears and our own insecurities, our own excuse of failure. You know, being a soccer dad for many, many years, we would laugh at the time when we see a parent on the sideline, and wasn't me, who wants to relive their lives through their children simply because they thought they've missed something. So my point is that we tend to force on them what we see as a better way. Well, you're looking at it maybe with a 50-year-old eyes, and this kid's looking at it with a 15-year-old, and they have the right to do their walk. I'm not suggesting you let them walk into the traffic. I'm not suggesting you let them burn themselves on the stove, or, you know, we talk to them about doing drugs or drinking and doing all these things. We generally, as parents, try to give them a safe cushion path through life. They will be just fine. They will figure it out. And they will become stronger because of what they've created on their own. We're weak because we believe, well, we've given up, or we don't think we can accomplish. We're strong because we take those unproven facts and turn them into our reality, and it gives us endurance and strength and desires and all these things to move forward. We are weak because we've told ourselves that we are. And most of us who are weak, what we do is we pretend the opposite. We put this fear out there, the mirror image out there to say, no, look at me, I'm big, I'm bad, I'm strong. I'm the best, I'm great, I'm better than you. What you're not mindful of at that moment when you're making that speech, your little soliloquy there, you have been telling me how scared you are. It's what we do. The mind is that tool that's going to make you strong or make you not strong. Okay. Beth wanted to know why I believe that animal and people are connected. All living things are connected. Like all the land on this planet is connected to each other. All the water is connected to each other as well. You know, unless you're in a pond and eventually you vaporize and you fly up to the sky and you find the ocean, because that's the destination of it. All things are connected, Beth, and energy-wise, we're just a part of it. Meaning, you know, you have a computer that you're plugged into the wall right now and it plays because it's plugged into the current. If you give up on this for a second and go plug in your stereo, it will play, and it's completely different, but it is playing because it's receiving the same current that goes through the mechanism of that unit for it to function the way it's designed to function. We're still connected. So it being an elephant or human being, person, maybe a cockroach or something, they still possess that quality or that energy. So that big stereo that you're playing in your house is massive and it's huge, but your little MP3 player that you may plug in, if they still exist, is still taken and is still plugged into the same current. So try to imagine the current being the energy that I refer to, the life. Actually, technically it is. So it's the energy and the life that exists and you plug into it. So if the animals plug into it and the people plug into it and any other living things plug into it, they are experiencing the same energy that makes us all God. Where do we come from? Do we just dig ourselves out of the mud or for the earth to become, human beings? You know, there is a creator. You are your own creator. You are your own creator. You've created. Maybe you're living a lifestyle that has, you know, nice house, nice family, nice car, nice job, nice friends, nice neighbor, or not. The total opposite of all of that. But you did create it. The situation that you're in, you're the one who brought it on. You are the creator. Now, you're talking before that when we got the body. Well, the body produces the spiritual existence comes into the body, and it's all the things that your parents, your mother actually, would have endured or taken in, build you. So you are a, pardon the expression, a byproduct of her. And we've come from the earth, and everything that exists in the universe is within your body. The water, the earth, the diamond, everything. You're part of it. The iron, the salt, sugars, they're all in you. As if somebody had just grabbed a big piece of the universe and rubbed their hands together and shaped it into a human being and breathed the life of spirituality into it, and there you are. You are your own creator. You designed the life you're living. So if it's not serving you, please design another one, because you are the creator. And we did come from this earth, Beth, no. You did come from this earth, and we're made up, we're product of this land. And this is why when we leave here, we can't take it with us. It doesn't belong. Like you went on a vacation sometime, you went on the beach, or you went on a canoe or whatever the case may be, and you would have seen a great life, had a great experience in that job probably. But when it's said and done, you go back home, and you go home with memories and empty-handedness and all that stuff, probably broke or suntan, something like that. That's how I come back. There is no heaven. And Tony asked that question, and I have to say, there isn't one. Heaven is a state of mind. It's within you. And of course, so there's the hell that's within you. All the bad things that you will endure in this life, the corruption, the, you know, if you steal, you rob, you do all these things, you learn those because of the body. You didn't come here with the idea of becoming that villain. No. And when you leave all of that here. To lie to each other, to communicate with each other verbally, to take from one another, to break all those 10 rules that they say is a sin, you had to learn that here. You didn't bring that. It's not a part of your package. Go inside yourself, find that package that represents you and every other human being. Every other living thing has their own, and the ability to execute them to live a perfect life. None of it has the ill ways of man, like what we're seeing throughout this entire life. We read all the time that some guy had died on the cross for our sins. Well, that didn't work, because I still see sins happening, breaking those rules and wars. So that didn't work. So, hey, we're trying, we're learning. And we have to be always on our toes of trying to figure out the best way to maximize you. That should be the task. Instead of us going to school at 5 or 3, whenever you start, and you are trained, they train your memory. So at the end of it all, you come out memorizing or remembering how to do things, or how this word is said, or how that, you know, and then we go into a profession where we remember more things. And then we go into a work field. We go out in the field, and the things that you've remembered, you've done well on your tests because you remember very well, and you were trained to remember. Then you go out in the field, and now you're going to put all that training into becoming something, because it works on your memory. So go back and try to figure out if you want to reverse it, and, you know, no need, because now you have to feed a few kids and pay a mortgage and get your hair done. You know, all these things, is what we've learned on our path. This is what we've learned just being who we are. Okay? Do I pray? Wow. And who do you pray to? Liz wanted to know that. Do I pray? I used to a lot. And then I learned that I did meditation, and I found it to be way more effective. Now, when I tried to pray. Okay, so for a very long time, I've known that when you're praying, if you're a true believer in prayer, you're praying to your higher self, right? Eliminate any group out there, any religious thing, and say, just pray. You are speaking to your higher self, your higher level of consciousness. You are praying to yourself. No, I don't pray. I would rather meditate And when I do that, I stop all the thinking and I just block everything out and allow what is supposed to happen happens. I've heard many times that we have free will, and I wondered how much of a free will we have when we have a predestined life. I came here to become a world's famous soccer player, and if I remember it, that's what I'm going to do. You follow it. You always get these messages in your gut as to what to follow. So if I came with a pre-made plan, a blueprint, when did free will begin? I've heard many times that if you make a plan, your God will laugh because he's got another plan for you. Well, if he already has a plan for me, where do you find room for free will? How could that be? How could it possibly be that I have free will when I already have a destination? Just saying. Now, praying, if you are, let's say, hypothetically, if you are broke and you want to pray to have wealth, you have told yourself that you're broke. So you'll pray until your tongue falls out, if that's how you're praying. The wealth will not come because you have accepted the state of being broke or unloved or weak or whatever it is, wherever you are. When you're praying for something, the reason you're doing the prayer for that thing is because you've accepted something different. So I'm going to pray for wealth. Well, I've told myself that I don't have any and I am poor or broke, pardon the expression, two different things. Because I'm sitting here convinced myself that I am broke, there's no point in praying because you are what you think you are. You are where you are simply because the thoughts you've held on to. So I'm sitting here and I'm broke and I want to change it by me saying, okay, bring wealth to me, bring position to me, I'm using the broke as an example. Could be anything in your life that you're praying for. You've accepted it. You are what you think you are. So before you sat down or knelt down to do that prayer, you convinced yourself that this is who I am. So I'm driving down the road and you're in the bus shelter and you want a ride. You could reach out and ask for a ride, but the facts are, if you stand in that bus shelter and just pray, you're going to be there for a while. Got to get out there and flag something down or take a plane or call an Uber, whatever. But you go on out in your bus shelter and you sit there and pray. Nothing will come to you because you can't pray. The listeners of that said prayer, which is you at a higher level of consciousness, is why are you praying to be skinny? You enjoy being fat. You tell yourself that you're fat. Use that as an example. Why do you pray for wealth? You're enjoying being poor. You've told yourself this is where you want to be. Now you're there and you're asking for someone to come and take you away. If you want to change that, you have to look on what you want and move towards it. Don't stand in that bus shelter for any longer than you have been in there already. Move towards the success that you're hoping to accomplish. Move towards it. And don't pray. Just go. You've already made the decision to get it. You've already made the decision to jump on a bus, or jump in a taxi. You've already made that decision. So take the action that would get you into it as opposed to just sitting in the bus shelter praying. You have to take. So answering Liz's question, no, I don't pray. And I haven't in many, many years seen the benefit in praying other than resealing the deal that I'm whatever. I'm a lousy basketball player. I can't sit there and pray to be a better one. It won't happen. It will not happen. I'm very horrible at playing tennis. I could pray until my prayer part falls off. I'm probably going to be just as bad. But if I did go out and get a racket and a ball and show up on the court, I will improve my qualities. Okay? So you go in the locker room and sit there and pray to be a better player, performer, father, mother, boss, employer, employee. You have to take an action towards it. When you sit in that company and you're looking at the top end of where you want to be in that company, go ahead and pray. It's not going to happen. You have to learn or follow the roadmap that leads to that position. And of course, most times it requires you working a little bit harder, not to sit still and hope that many people above you will pass away or don't want the job anymore, then you will get it. Pray. No, I don't do that. So thank you again for being a part of the show. I did go through a lengthy explanation on trying to do the financing. Would you consider doing it if you were looking at it and the numbers don't measure up, and there's so much contradictory statement about it, and the person who's trying to sell it to you, convince you of it, doesn't have all the answers. And you know, you will take it to a professional and they can't give you all the answers. They can't give you anything. Is a gamble? Fine. I will gamble with some money. I don't have any, but if I did, I would gamble with some money. But do you want to do the same for your life? We say, wake up and take a good look at you. Understand who you are. Learn what is required of you to have the best life. And we're all connected to the same energy, to the same wave of life. You are not just in the scheme of things, you're not just a grain of sand on the beach. You're not. You're the entire beach, and you need to know that. A lot of people don't, because we're told many things growing up that we are not going to, we won't be able to accomplish. A second life. A person asked me about a second life, meaning that when this one is done, will there be another? And that's one of the questions I had somebody threw at me this week. Will there be another? Well, it doesn't end. Again, let's go back to the energy and how it cannot be destroyed. You're just a part of it. Imagine you being an item on a conveyor belt. You're just sitting on the conveyor belt as an item. You're the bottle of ketchup on that conveyor belt, if you buy ketchup, and try to change it on your own. You can't do it. That conveyor belt is being dragged by a huge motor that's making it rotate. And eventually, when it gets to a certain distance, maybe that ketchup will fall off or that item will fall off. That's how we are. But then you come back. Because the rotation continues, and that's life. We come back by choice. We come back by choice. When you leave here and go back to your home, to your spiritual existence, you will meet all the people that you've been journeying with for many, 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 many generations. I told you before, I had a read-up done a while ago, and they told me that this is life number 54. However, I don't know, I haven't done anything about it recently, but I don't trust the source anymore, simply because of other things that's popped up, and it's probably just convenient for them to say this. Again, it goes back to me wanting to listen to a preacher, a minister, of anybody telling me how my life should be. How would they know? How could they possibly know? And then you could take a good look at how it benefits them for you to humble yourself and follow the path without questioning. I just found out the other day that there's nobody in any of that good book ever has a last name, just the one name. Wonder why. Never thought about it until the other day. Everybody just has a first name basis. Wow. And then, of course, some of us try to create what we do. Try to create the laws so it makes sense to us. A little side note, if somebody's trying to sell you something or convince you of doing an investment or anything, trying to sell you whatever it may be, you're going to have to listen to the keywords that they use. Believe me, trust me. Honestly, why would I lie to you? Let's talk to my mother. And you have to understand that these words are being used simply to convince you of how great this product that I'm trying to sell you is. and they polish it. Now, it's not only to convince you, the person doing the selling wants to be believed. So he's throwing all these words in, phrases, whatnot, to convince you how real and how truth it is. But if it was true, you would say, here, take this, check it out. You'll get the rewards. Okay, catch you later. As opposed to, honestly, trust me, believe me, I know what I'm talking about. They'll even go further and tell you about their level of education, a training, or education, what's the difference? But if it was true, they'll say, here it is. You know, I don't know if anybody has to come to you and explain to you a tomato plant, other than put it in the ground, give it water, and just what, see what happens. Yep, stick it in the ground, a basket, stick it somewhere where it can connect and give it water and sunlight. And it will show you the fruits. It'll show you the benefit. You have to know that. But if I were to give you a plant and said, well, you know, it should, trust me, believe me, honestly, it might, you know, okay, run away. Because they're convincing you of something they themselves are not sure about. Wake up and understand that you are not here for somebody else's purpose. You're not here for someone else's benefit. You are not a toy for someone else to play with. You are equal member in this band. And your instrument might not be the one that's up front, but hey, you're still playing that instrument. If you're on a team, you know, you take a look at, I don't know if you understand soccer, but take a good look at the soccer field. There's 11 men on the field. And, you know, all of them are important. Take one out and see how much that team collapses. You know, you might not think the goalie is important or the striker, both opposite ends, but take one of them out and you'll see what happens. It works together. If somebody is going to bring you down, break you down, you're breaking down your own team in every aspect of that world. You're not a better player, you're a player. And as a unit, we work together to create this awesome machine of a team. It'd be football, soccer, basketball, orchestra, whatever the tool, whatever it is. You're an instrument in it, that's fine. But you're just as important as anybody else who's making that team work. I say all that to say, when you're a human being in this family, the human family, you are part of the team. So when you're out there slugging it out with your opponents, you're slugging it out with yourself. When you're thinking that you are better than the next person, at what level, from which platform are you making this comparison? We've come here the same way, by the same method. How is better given to you and not the others? Nope. You throw them french fries in the deep fryer, they all come out the same. Some a little taller than others, and longer and shorter, but you can bet your bottom dollar they all taste the same. Wake up. Wake up and truly understand yourself. Have we got anything else there, sir?
We have a few emails. Folks, during the week, you can write to Barrington. The email address is awaken1308@gmail.com. That's awaken1308@gmail.com. Carol wrote in, you must have really hated what people told you growing up about God, the Bible, religion, because you're always talking about how wrong these people are. That's from Carol. Benny wants to know if you have a book out or tapes. Okay, that's from Benny. Thank you. Chad, kind of the same email. Do you have any courses online that you teach? That's from Chad. Eric says, Jesus did die for our sins, but he never said you would not sin again. He gives you that option of free will, which I don't think you believe. He wanted everyone to know that their sins are forgiven, but he did not want people to continue to sin. That's up to the person. That's from Eric. Annie writes in, murder and killing are two different things. You can kill someone in self-defense. That's not a bad thing. But you can murder by planning to murder someone to rob them or etc. So murder and killing are two different things. Dwight wants to know, we're our own creator. Well, if we are, how come we didn't create ourselves to be perfect? That's from Dwight. And last one here, Greg, what is actually a perfect life? Money, health, friends, family? What is it? I think it's all crap. That's from Greg. Back to you.
Greg, you've mentioned a lot of those examples. You miss happiness and pursuit of what it is that you're hoping to accomplish. It's not money, because you could see that many parts of this world don't do as we do, or need as we need, or pretend to need as we need. But it's to be happy and to live a life and to be your true self, to know thyself. That's your true purpose. Not your purpose. I'm not about to tell you your purpose, but we shouldn't be living with fear or anger, envy, and all those things. We've created those while we're being here. But just set out to be happy and acquire as much as you can. Acquire as much as you can knowledge moving forward. You should have to you should have to set out your own standard and find your happiness. And by the way, if you take a second to tell somebody how happy you are, you're lying. A happy man don't say he's happy. A happy man just knows he's happy and he's living his life his way. But when somebody's telling you that they're happy, yeah, they've made up that part. They're just trying to convince you, and they'll follow up with, trust me, believe me, honestly. No, ask them if they're happy, they'll tell you. But if they just volunteer the information to you, you can assume that they just volunteered the information to you without source. Murder and killing is completely different. The person is still dead, though. And if somebody is trying to take my life, I would do the best that I can to defend myself. In the process of defending myself, I may end up killing the guy. You know, so it's how you look at it. I think somebody is still dead. And yes, if we plan murder, they have murder 1, 2, 3, and whatever it is. And yeah, we're not getting into that. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. You know, and this is what you're probably referring to, thou shalt not kill and murder. But, you know, we are killing animals all the time, and we are defending, if we have to defend ourselves, by all means. And then just because you didn't take that sharp object or that whatever it is to take the person's life, if you're also, breaking the spirit of that person, you're doing the very same thing. Just because the body is still standing doesn't mean the person is not dead, if you understand what I mean. So I agree with you. Two different things. Absolutely right. But at the end of the day, there is a dead person. Eric, talk about sin, and Jesus did say this and Jesus did say that. And yes, you're absolutely right. Eric, I'd really love for you to send me the proof of him saying that, because you've heard it on your own or you just read it through a book. If he did die for our sins, obviously I said it didn't work, but he didn't say he's not going to continue sinning. If that was the case and he knew we were going to continue to sin, what's the purpose of just, you know, wiping out what's behind him, knowing what's in front of him, knowing that what's behind him will still exist tomorrow, so nothing will change? I will challenge the creator. And somebody mentioned in here, why didn't we make ourselves perfect and stuff like that? You know, well, the thing is, I would think that if we had a creator that was going to create us, it'd make it perfect to be conducive to the lifestyle that we want to live here. But the world changes, everything changes. You know, I could make that perfect horseshoe, you know, and then I won't be able to use it because it's not existing anymore. That perfect football leather helmet for the football games, you know, remember those? Yeah, well, they're not there anymore. The world changes and everything is perfect as it is supposed to be. A lot of people argue with me on that one, that anyway, the world is perfect. And Eric, and I hear you about all the sin stuff, and I get you, I follow you 150%. I just wonder if you have something tangible to support your argument other than what others have told you. No, I don't have any courses. I do have all the shows that I have online, where you could catch our website there. And all the shows that we've ever done. And of course, this show is going to be repeated again on Thursdays at 10 p.m. So if you want to catch it or hear something again, you do it. Or it's going to be posted on the website, Barrington Awaken. That's how you can find us here, barringtonawaken@gmail.com. And that's where you'll find us. The webpage, my bad, is web, is he am I, Barrington Awaken. I forgot. H-E-A-M-I, Barrington Awakened. All the shows will be there, including today's shows, where just simply, the name of the show is Slow Down. We do have books. Benny, sorry. And it's Awaken Ascension Guide, aligns you to your true purpose. That could be picked up off Amazon. There's one here that I'm a little confused with, but okay, we enter the book and the courses, and you know, now I wish I had a lot of time to get into this about this book was supposedly shoved down my throat, Mary. I wondered, sorry, Carl. No, it's not hate. It's not hate. Hate is a very harsh way of looking at it. But you know, if you're a vegetarian, you're not eating meat, you don't hate animals. If you don't eat pork, I don't think you hate the pigs. You just avoid it. You stay away from it. It's not you. It's not what you want. Now, I get this call from time to time about how this book was shoved down my throat. It was prevalent in the household that I was being raised in. When I got to a certain level of my own and I can do some of my own thinking, I started questioning this book. My show is not about this book. This show is about spirituality and for you to become strong and be good and be the best person you could be and be happy all the time. No one shoved it down my throat. It was on the table and it was talked about all the time and we were told to live by those rules. And then I got older and looked into other areas. Before, Ralph had asked me, this is from the previous group of exercise. Ralph would ask me how to raise your level of consciousness. Well, what it is, and it's simple, we have very few seconds minutes to go over this one. To raise yourself to a higher level of consciousness, sorry, Ralph, I completely dropped the ball on that one, is you have to allow yourself to know who you are. How do you do this? How do you walk towards it? Well, first you practice something I always say, and I don't say it anymore. If it's not true, Ralph, don't say it. If it's not yours, don't take it. If you're doing it and it's wrong, stop doing it. It puts you in a place where you're kind of understanding that all things that surrounds you is for your benefit, for everything else, be it good or be it bad. An accident may happen, try to get the blessing from it. To raise your level of, to raise yourself to a higher level of consciousness, I would tell you to practice your meditation. Practice understanding what it's like to be a spiritual being. You can't be juggling with two different belief system. Spirituality is not a belief system. Spirituality is like the cold. It exists. It's out there. You go out there, you feel it. You're a part of it, you know, but others will tell you to believe this and believe that without proof or anything tangible to support their argument. But spirituality, raise yourself to a higher level of consciousness and you get a better understanding of who you are. And once you learn how to know thyself, you will see how life is all interconnected. We're all the same. We're all from the same source. We've lived in many different corners of this planet or this. And you know, we're doing the same thing, man. We're waking up and we're eating and we're taking care of ourselves. And then we're going to go back home to our home. How come you or somebody will believe that their method of treading the water is best and others should follow them? How's that even possible? You know, I'm just saying. So I missed that, Ralph, question. Raise yourself to a higher level of consciousness by knowing who you are. Look internally, meditate. And the easiest way to do it is just to sit still without a thought and allow yourself to interconnect with all that there is. Like the caterpillar, right? Crawls into this little cocoon thing, goes through the phase of metamorphosis and comes out a beautiful butterfly. I'm not suggesting you crawl into anything. I'm simply suggesting that you take some time to know you. What do you like? What don't you like? And move on from there. You raise yourself to a higher level of consciousness. Don't be thinking ill of anyone. The worst thing you could do for yourself in life is to wish something negative on another person because you're calling it in and the deliverer only has your address. So if you plan to dig a pit for somebody, dig two because you're going to get one too. Thank you very much for being a part of the show today. I hope I answered everybody's question and it was amazing to perform for you today. You know where we are. We're at home. Come and join us every time. Join us and have a wonderful time. Until we speak again, everybody, namaste.
Thank you for listening to Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington right here on Reality Radio 101.